David Hawkins, we've been talking a lot. You are quite the expert as the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, authors of Hawkins Here blog and column, and covering Congress. So I guess I want to start with the Mueller investigation. You know, there comes a hurricane. It goes off the front pages for a little while. But a lot of people have been waiting to see what Mueller comes up with. When we spoke the last time, you said something very interesting. You said you've never seen a special prosecutor who doesn't come up with some charges. What do you mean by that?
Well, I just think it's a little bit like the one of the cliches that I was taught as a kid: to a hammer, the whole world is a nail.
So to
a prosecutor, the whole world is filled with criminal activity, and he just needs to find it. And yes, I think independent counsels have broad latitude; they have almost infinite latitude. I mean, of course, the obvious example here is Ken Starr started out looking at a very convoluted real estate deal in Arkansas and ended up, with Monica Lewinsky's blue dress. So these prosecutors can roam wherever they please, and generally they keep roaming until they find something or some things.
Well, what do we know about what's going on? I mean, is the Mueller investigation picking up speed?
It seems to be picking up speed. I mean, it does. There have been evidence has been presented to grand juries. Subpoenas have been issued. And that's just the stuff we know about. It seems as though it is a multifaceted investigation that goes beyond the Russian meddling in the election and what, if anything, how, if at all, that was connected directly or indirectly to the Trump campaign. It seems to be going, Mr. Mueller seems to be looking quite intently at the circumstances surrounding Jim Comey's firing as the FBI director and whether the president did or said things that amounted to obstruction of justice. It seems to be going at the meetings that were arranged before the election between Donald Trump Jr. And this Russian operative who was trying to talk about business operations. It seems to go into the potential Russian Trump Tower in Moscow, the president's finances. I mean, it seems to be sort of, as I say, multifaceted. It also seems to be touching on Michael Flynn, the former national security advisor who lasted only a couple of weeks in that job, and Paul Manafort and their relationship with the Russians or with other adversaries of the U.S. during the election. So it seems broad and also deep. And if anything, I would say that, obviously, Mr. Mueller, when you're investigating something to do with a president, you've got to assume that Robert Mueller is going to be extremely cautious and careful. Again, another cliche involving carpentry. He's going to measure three times before cutting once, not just twice. He's going to make sure everything is locked in place before he makes any kind of announcement of any charges. So I wouldn't expect any kind of rush to prosecute. And I would expect that when he announces some things, that they will be some very solidly, deeply made cases.
Which brings us, in my mind at least, to the 2018 elections, depending on what happens. Let me ask you a very simple question. Is there any way that the Democrats can take the House in 2018?
Yes, absolutely. I would say I wouldn't say it's the better bet. It's not the odds-on bet quite yet, but it's getting close to being an even money bet. For one thing, they have to pick up 24 seats. The Democrats do. They start with a pretty big playing field to get to those 24 seats. For one thing, there are, 23 congressional districts that are now represented by Republican members whose voters also went for Hillary Clinton last year. So these are ticket-splitting districts, including several, surrounding where you're sitting, Alan, that they liked Hillary for president, but they nonetheless elected a Republican to Congress. So those Republicans are sort of, on paper anyway, vulnerable. And then there's a large group of others who are vulnerable for all kinds of other different reasons. So the Democrats have a very big playing a bigger and bigger with each passing day playing field to get the seats that they need to take back the House.
So you read my mind, because we have moderate Republicans, so-called moderate Republicans in New York, like Representative John Faso, Representative Claudia Tenney, and Representative Elise Stefanik, all in this area from which we are broadcasting now. John Faso has been really taking it on the chin for his health care vote. Elise Stefanik also. What are the odds on those people losing?
Each of those people has had nothing but competitive. I mean, I know that they all had competitive races to get to Congress. I think that those are all places that the Democrats are going to be contesting, right? But we got Governor Cuomo is trying to raise a bunch of money to help the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. I think Cuomo has set his sights on, what, 6 New York House members, right?
Yeah.
And is running sort of a political operation there. So I think, yes, I think the 2018 midterm campaign, is sort of headquartered in 2 states, New York and California. There are also about a half a dozen districts in California that are going to get a ton of attention. Those are the two big targets of opportunity, and I would say the Democrats' path to winning back the House runs right through upstate New York and the Orange County suburbs of California.
Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about one other policy area, which is North Korea. Obviously, this is a tough one. Most people think that Kim is a madman. Now, some of us do, some of us don't. Doesn't much matter. He's talking about wiping out the United States. He's talking about all the rest of it. What's the sense you get from talking to people in the House or in the Senate?
The sense is that a lot of it, there's some serious anxiety. The sense is that they are with the president. You know, they obviously, this is one case where they are very eager to put their own partisan disdain for the president aside. They want to present a united front. They are worried that the president's a little bit hot-headed on this stuff, and that they're worried that he will he might be inclined to act more dramatically than they would want. But I think there is a palpable anxiety that North Korea's nuclear testing program has accelerated very rapidly in a way that I think has taken some of these lawmakers by surprise. Those who've been paying close attention have been known that this was coming, maybe not at quite this pace, but that they've known this was coming for quite some time. And I think that it is absolutely something that is probably closer in the minds of many, many lawmakers this fall than the topic that we talked about a few minutes ago, impeachment. You know, I think this is going to come to some sort of a head potentially faster than the Trump presidency itself.
David Hawkins, I love our conversations. David is the editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of Hawkins Here blog and column. And if you want to see that on the internet, how do you do that? How do you access that Hawkins Here blog and column?
Oh gosh, you can just go to your it just rollcall.com is the website, and yeah. Or at David Hawkins if you want to follow me on Twitter, or just go to your local web browser and type in Hawkins and whatever topic you want and see what comes up.
Okay, you've been covering Congress for a long time now, my good friend, since 1995. You've done so well, and we're always flattered when you show up here. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. Take care.